It's Celtics coverage on CLNSradio.com.
A bomb from Thomas. It's gone. It's been his night.
Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll free 347-215-7771.
Welcome into the Boston Celtics postgame show on CLNS Radio, the leading online provider of audio and video coverage for the Boston Celtics. I'm your host, Josue Pavone. I'm joined by Sean Bakey, here to break down this Celtics win 113-109, where Isaiah Thomas continues to make his case as MVP of the NBA. That's right. That's how I'm going to start this show. That's how I'm feeling tonight, okay? He's in the conversation. I know we've been saying that for a while now, but no, like he's really in the conversation. Mr. Fourth Quarter is continuing his offensive dominant, and he did it tonight against the Detroit Pistons. And what a great time for him to continue the streak, because now the Celtics versus the Toronto Raptors on Wednesday night looks like a very, very interesting game. Oh, I can't wait to see these two battle it out. Can't wait to see if the Celtics can prove that they can defeat the Raptors and that they're on their level in terms of their key matchup here and solidifying or at least making a case as the second best team in the Eastern Conference. But the record-wise, they are. That's right. Just like that. I mean, a week ago, we were talking to ourselves, wondering if the Celtics team was going to fall into the pack of those middle teams between the 4th, 5th, 6th seed in the Eastern Conference. No. The Celtics are now the second-best team in the East. They are now 30-18, ahead of the Toronto Raptors by one game, and only three games behind the Cleveland Cavaliers. So if you were able to knock off the Raptors, if the Celtics can beat the Raptors on Wednesday night, that is going to be huge in terms of building momentum before the All-Star break and seeing if they can continue that after the break. The number to join us in this program is 347-215-7771. That's 347-215-7771. I tried to say to myself, you know what? I don't want to keep talking, Thomas. I don't want to keep saying and repeating myself in terms of how incredible he's been this season. But when he performs the way he did tonight, when he puts together these fourth quarter runs, it's just, how do you not talk about him? He scores the last 11 points for the Celtics, finishes with 41 points, just really giving it to Detroit in that fourth quarter. And it's so amazing to me, because Detroit, they know the ball's going to Isaiah Thomas. Every team in the NBA knows Isaiah Thomas is going to get the ball in that fourth quarter. And they're finding ways to double-team him, triple-team him, get in his face. And he just continues to find a way to get to the hoop. This season has reminded me so much. It's just the whole story of Isaiah Thomas has reminded me of so much of a young Paul Pierce. And I'm not just saying that because Paul's coming to town for his last game at the Garden on Sunday night, or Sunday evening, I should say. Sunday afternoon, I should say, Super Bowl Sunday. But just the domination in the fourth quarter, seeing the opposition focus entirely on him, and they still couldn't stop him, reminds me of a young Paul. And Isaiah Thomas is just showing no signs of slowing down. And I cannot wait for this matchup against the Raptors. Again, the phone number to join us is 347-215-7771. Again, that's 347-215-7771. I bring in my co-host, Sean Bakey. Am I exaggerating here? Am I saying too much here? Am I getting ahead of myself? I mean, this is game 48, and Isaiah Thomas is still being Mr. Fourth Quarter. This isn't a fluke.
No, one thing I want to say before I get to Isaiah Thomas, the Cavaliers lost tonight, so the Celtics are actually 2.5 games behind the Cleveland Cavaliers for the top spot in the Eastern Conference. But yeah, let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. So really huge game on Wednesday night. But Isaiah Thomas, this isn't a fluke anymore, Josue. This isn't a fluke. This is for real. We have a very large sample size of Isaiah Thomas performing at an MVP level. And just when you think he's going to have an off night, he goes out and scores 41 and just dominates in the second half, particularly in the fourth quarter. Mr. Fourth Quarter again, fourth quarter tonight, and he ends up with 41 points. So 11 of 23 shooting, a lot of times when he was going into the paint, he had 3 and 4 Pistons on him, including Andre Drummond. I love Andre Drummond in the paint and obviously what he does on the offensive end, but he's also a threat on the defensive end as well. The guy had 23 rebounds tonight, had 2 blocks to go with his 28 points, 12 and 19 shooting, a lot of easy hoops around the basket for Andre Drummond. But Isaiah Thomas was going amongst the trees in the paint against the Detroit Pistons tonight, and they had no answer for him, zero. And the thing about Isaiah Thomas, in addition to the 8 assists that he had tonight, is that he was 15 of 15 from the free throw line and hit big shots in the fourth quarter when the Celtics really tried to give this game away. They very easily could have lost the game. They give up 60 points of paint to the Pistons. You had big nights from Tobias Harris alongside Drummond and, of course, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Although we had a miserable 5 of 16 shooting night, hit some big shots towards the end there to keep Detroit in the game. So, good win for the Celtics tonight against a struggling Detroit team who actually played very well in the fourth quarter, scored 39 points. But no, we are not exaggerating when we're hyping Isaiah Thomas like this. He is in the MVP discussion, and this just continues to just amaze me the way he's been able to do this. The Celtics have been looking for that superstar. They have him. They still need to add a piece or two, maybe a wing scorer and obviously a big that they've needed for the last couple of years. But this is their superstar.
Yeah, ever since the 52-point game, I always said now the narrative changes in Boston, okay? It's not about, the Celtics need an all-star. A superstar, that's the word. A superstar. They need a superstar. They need Isaiah's good, but he's not good enough. They need a superstar. No, the narrative has changed to they need another superstar because they already have one. His name is Isaiah Thomas.
They need a complimentary piece to Isaiah Thomas and Al Horford now. And if they go out and get that, and of course we'll probably talk about that throughout the show, just way as there's some rumors running rampant.
But they need a complimentary piece to
build with Isaiah. Because he is the superstar on this team for sure. I like the Pierce comparison.
And man, I've been seeing it since the beginning of the season. Just his tenacity, his ability to score. Just that's always what Paul Pierce was. When he became
that
an all-star,
just a pure scorer.
Yeah, closer, and just a pure scorer in every way that you can define what a scorer does. This is the Boston Celtics postgame show. Our opening segment is powered by ZipRecruiter. It's the new year, which means a fresh start for your business. And a great year starts with making great hires. But posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites. And now you can with ZipRecruiter. You can jumpstart your hiring in 2017. Post your job to 200-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. Find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll in to ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen your candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 1 million businesses. And right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/sportsfan. That's ZipRecruiter.com/sportsfan. Just not to take anything away from the Detroit Pistons, Sean. I mean, I think you brought up a good point how this team has been struggling, but they put together a good game. The thing about the Celtics ever since, last month or a month and a half or so, I feel like the third quarter is so important for this team. And I thought that the Celtics needed to create some distance between them and the Pistons and to keep them at bay before going into the fourth quarter. And that's exactly what they did. They had a 9-point lead going into the fourth. But then all of a sudden, the Pistons start the quarter with a 24-13 run, really got things going, jumped ahead. Caldwell Pope, who always gives it to the Celtics. Last year, he was a killer for this team. Win or lose, this guy just tends to always have a good game against the Celtics. And tonight was no different. He finished with 18 points, and that second half was huge for them. Andre Drummond, man, talk about a team that was consistently going into Drummond and exposing that matchup down low against the Celtics, who they just didn't have an answer for him. Monster double-double, 28 points, 22 rebounds. I mean, the fact that he's able to do this against the Celtics, it's become something that you expect against the Seas, because their ability to be out-rebounded night in and night out, of course, gives guys like Andre Drummond a monster night, and tonight was no different. I thought the Pistons were taking advantage of the Drummond matchups down low, especially when Al Horford was on the bench, because when Al Horford was on the bench, it was Kelly Olynyk and Amir Johnson. So he was having himself a game throughout that fourth quarter. Third quarter, the Celtics just really try to keep their lead in the fourth quarter before the Pistons really took care of things. And then all of a sudden, out came Isaiah Thomas, finished the game scoring the last 11 points for the Celtics. Celtics got out to a 6-0 run where they created a little space, and the rest was all Isaiah. Knocking down threes. He knocked down three of them, got to the free throw line, knocked down two pairs, and that was pretty much the game in the last few minutes. A few other guys put in some scoring here. Of course, Jay Crowder continues to perform very well. I mean, he's really gone under the radar with his scoring because, you know, when you have Isaiah Thomas averaging close to 35 points a night in this month of January, you tend to forget about guys like Jay Crowder, who's consistently been scoring 20, 21 points a night throughout these last couple of weeks. He finished tonight with 21 points, 8 rebounds. Al Horford had 13 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists. So the scoring was a little balanced, but for the most part, let's say what it is. I mean, it was all Isaiah Thomas in the fourth quarter. And Isaiah Thomas, you know, there's a reason why I'm calling him Mr. MVP or MVP candidate, a top MVP candidate, because this is what MVP candidates do. They put their team on their backs, and they get them through the game. They win games for them. And that's what Isaiah Thomas continues to do over and over again. There's a reason why the Celtics had this phenomenal record at 30-18 with 48 games into the regular season. And the biggest reason is Isaiah Thomas.
He continues to elevate his game, and obviously getting the second All-Star nod in a row is much deserved. You know, I give Detroit a lot of credit in this game for hanging around and actually coming back and tying in and actually taking the lead in the fourth quarter. There's a lot of talent on this team. It starts with Drummond, obviously, you know, KCP, and they have some nice pieces with Marcus Morris and Tobias Harris as well. So, you know, although they struggled lately, you know, you look at the talent on this team, and they could have very easily given up when they're down 11 or you know, whatever it was at some points in this game in the third quarter. But Isaiah Thomas really took this team on his back, as he has in this run, you know, of games for him where he's just literally taking the whole game over himself and willing the Celtics to victory. You know, he's hitting big threes. He's getting to the line, you know, and once he's, you know, he's the thing about it too is that he's making key passes, you know, out to the perimeter when he has to. He's been, you know, he's been fairly safe with the ball. If you will, only 3 turnovers for him tonight, so he hasn't been turning the ball over that much. Although there was some sloppy play at times for the Celtics in this game, but they ended up only with 9 turnovers overall, according to the stats I'm looking at. If that's a final stat for them. But, you know, he's making the extra pass what he needs to. And you look at some of the passes he makes down low when he's driving and dishing, or, you know, the pick and pop with Horford. So it's not just the scoring, you know, although 41 points obviously dominates the stat sheet. You know, he had 8 assists tonight, too. He had a couple of steals, you know. And, again, he hit all his free throws, which is hugely important for the Celtics. And it made a huge difference down the stretch. When they were, you know, this game was very, very close. You know, he's very one-dimensional. Obviously, on the defensive end, you know, people are calling him out for being a little bit of a liability on the defensive end, and he did have a couple of fouls that might have been a little bit questionable. But as Kevin McHale said on the TNT broadcast, you know, you catch a guy in the lower half when he's shooting a jump shot, they're going to call that all day long. So, but you know, if you're going to have any criticism of him, it's going to be on that defensive end. You know, my criticism since he's been here has been at times that he can get a little bit out of control, but I didn't see that out of him tonight, per se. So just, I mean, we can't say enough about him. Really, you know, he's taking his game to a whole new level. The national audience is seeing it now. They saw it tonight. That's a big, big, you know, big game for him on a big stage. And, you know, great to see from Isaiah Thomas and them getting another win. Just when we thought maybe they were going to give one away, Isaiah Thomas says, no, I'm on my bad boys and we're going to win this one because we need to a good lead in, a good momentum going into a huge, tremendously huge game on Wednesday night. They really need to go and steal that game from the Raptors to prove to themselves, to prove to the Eastern Conference, you know, prove to the Raptors that they're for real, that they can beat them. And I think that's going to go a long way in the second half of the season towards this playoff push that the Celtics are going to be making to beat the Raptors on Wednesday night.
113-109 is the score. The Celtics defeat the Pistons, make it four in a row. And, of course, the Celtics now find themselves in what is, I think, the biggest game of this regular season for the Celtics. Toronto Raptors at TD Garden, the matchup between the two teams trying to be right underneath the Cleveland Cavaliers in the Eastern Conference. And we will get into that right after the quick break. To join the conversation again, to jump on the phone lines is 347-215-7771. Again, that's 347-215-7771. We'll break down that Raptors matchup right after the break. And we'll also talk about these trade rumors that are going on. You know, it looked like it was going away, but now they're creeping right back up, and they involve Carmelo Anthony. We'll give you our take right after the break, and we'll get into Celtics and Raptors right after the break. This is the CLNS Radio Boston Celtics postgame show.
The first segment of today's Celtics postgame show is powered by ZipRecruiter. It's the new year, which means a fresh start for your business. And a great year starts with making great hires. But posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates anymore. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all of the job sites. And now you can with ZipRecruiter. Jumpstart your hiring in 2017. Post your job to 200 plus job sites, including social networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with one single click. Find candidates in any city or industry or nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No more juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast and the first time. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 1 million businesses, and you can find out for free because you're a listener of the Celtics postgame show. Post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/sportsfan. That's ZipRecruiter.com/sportsfan. One more time to try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/sportsfan.
CLNS Radio's leading online coverage of the Boston Celtics now even more comprehensive than ever. From the Celtics postgame show, to the Garden Report, to CSL, and to Celtics Beat, CLNS Radio's Boston Celtics news feed provides narrated breaking news, game recaps, and news and notes for the NBA's winningest franchise, all provided in real time. Don't have the time to surf the web or search engines and plunge your head into your computer or smartphone to read up on all the latest on the Celtics? No problem. Multitask while listening to CLNS's Celtics news feed. And for the 2016-17 NBA campaign, the Boston Celtics pregame report with myself, Larry H. Russell, will be released on the news feed on game days at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, making it the first pregame report to air anywhere. We will give you a featured interview from someone providing opposing insight, pregame notes, and go on a Celtics draft pick watch, all in just 12 minutes or less. Available on the Boston Celtics news feed on iTunes and Stitcher and the CLNS Radio mobile podcast app.
Hey, this is Nick Gelso, the founder of CLNS Radio, and I just want to take a moment to talk to you about Movement Watches. Movement Watches, if you haven't heard of this company, it started by two broke college kids that wanted to wear stylish watches but couldn't afford them. So what did they do? They started their own company. As you know, CLNS Radio was founded by a bunch of Celtics fans way back in 2009, and from there we started a company that made a career out of it, so we can absolutely relate to the owners of Movement Watches.
And let me tell you, I purchased the Chrono Gunmetal watch. This watch is so sleek, black stainless steel, it's light, it's versatile, it's great for dress occasions or even casual affairs. A little bit more about Movement watches, they start at $95. I purchased the Chrome Gunmetal watch for under $100, and I know with the watch I purchased, you're looking at $400 to $500 in a department store. So give yourself a big discount right in time for the holidays. You can get 15% off today with free shipping, and if you don't like the watch, guess what? You can return it for free. All you have to do is go to movementwatches.com/Celticsbeat. Wait a second, even the name is cool. It's spelled MVMTwatches.com/Celticsbeat. Again, go to MVMTwatches.com/Celticsbeat.
Welcome back into the Boston Celtics postgame show on BLNS Radio, where we are recapping the Celtics' 113-109 win over the Detroit Pistons. The Celtics are now second place in the Eastern Conference, only 2.5 behind Cleveland, and are a full game ahead of the Toronto Raptors. Another big game for Mr. IT, Mr. Fourth Quarter. 41 points, 8 assists in this one. A couple of steals to go with those stats. As the Celtics continue to roll, and Isaiah Thomas is putting them on their back and going with it. I mean, the way this guy's playing, I tell you, if James Harden and Russell Westbrook weren't having such amazing seasons, such incredible seasons, I think Isaiah Thomas would easily be the talk of the league right now. And in some cases, he is. But I just feel like when you're averaging triple doubles, like, you know, Russell Westbrook is, something that we haven't seen in a very, very long time. It doesn't come close. When you're James Harden, a guy who's always criticized for not being able to pass the ball, and he's averaging, you know, up to 12 assists a game and putting in work for the Houston Rockets. I mean, it's easy to get overshadowed by those two guys, but Isaiah Thomas with that huge chip on his shoulder just continues to thrive for the Celtics, as he was able to do what he usually does in the fourth quarter and bring the Celtics to another win, fourth win in a row against the Pistons, which brings them to their Wednesday night matchup at the Garden against the Toronto Raptors. Sean, I ask you, what do the Celtics need to do to make sure they get out of there with a win? Because these Toronto Raptors have certainly had the Celtics' numbers in those last couple of seasons, and I think the Celtics are going to have their hands full. And I say that because, of course, of what history tells us, but I also say that because I just don't think they generally match up well against the Raptors. I think matchup-wise, they match up better against the Cleveland Cavaliers, in my opinion. The way Toronto Raptors is set up from the front court through the back court, it just creates so many matchup problems for the Celtics.
Yeah, and just to kind of piggyback on what we were saying about the MVP conversation first, and then, you know, we'll talk about the Raptors game, obviously. You know, you look at those three guys and you know, with Harden and with Westbrook and obviously with Thomas, you look at, you know, who is most valuable to their team. If you take those guys away from those teams, you know, how does the team perform? And I think in each case, if you take those guys out, the team doesn't nearly perform to the level that they are with these guys. And like you said, with
Oklahoma City. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, you know, with Russ, I mean, it's just off the charts what he's doing. Same with Harden, and same with Thomas. So I think, you know, like you say, you said it right. If it wasn't for Russ, if it wasn't for the beard, Isaiah Thomas would be far and away the leader at the clubhouse when it comes to the MVP conversation. But all of those guys are extremely valuable to their teams, and, you know, you can't take that away from any of them. So, you know, I think I'll be honest here. I think Isaiah is probably a little bit below those other two guys. I think Harden is just a little bit below Russ right now. You know, if I had an MVP vote, that's how I would do it, just from what I've seen. And I haven't watched every game that those other two guys have played. I have seen almost every game that Isaiah Thomas has played, all of them are having MVP caliber seasons. Now, as far as the Raptors game, I mean, again, you said it, they've struggled against them. They don't match up well, but you look at the ridiculous seasons that DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry are having, you know, they have the pieces around them, the complementary pieces. It's matchup trouble for the Celtics. So I think Brad Stevens is going to have to go in there and seriously consider what rotations he's going to use against these guys. Who's he going to have, against DeRozan and against Lowry? I mean, in a loss tonight against Orlando, Lowry had 33 points on 9 of 18 shooting. DeRozan, 22. You know, he had Ross up the bench with 17. Valanciunas had 9 rebounds. So they have very good complementary pieces around the stars that they have on this team, and you have to be able to take those guys away. I think if you can, hopefully, if Avery Bradley comes back, and there's rumors that he could be back. He says he feels great. He says he's, you know, ready to go. I heard on the broadcast tonight they might hold him off till the weekend, so maybe the Friday game. But if he could somehow be close to 100% and ready to go Wednesday night, that's going to be a big help. Obviously Smart out there, and they're going to have to help, right? I mean, you know, when DeRozan or Lowry gets through that first layer of defense, you got to have that help and be able to make the switches to cover the perimeter guys that can hit outside shots, but also stop the big guys from getting easy baskets in the paint, because that is what's killed the Celtics, is that they have to pick their poison with the Raptors. And I think in the games that we've seen so far, they've picked wrong. So they're going to have to put their best effort out there on Wednesday night. Despite the fact that the Raptors have lost a few games here and are struggling a little bit and have fallen behind the Celtics in the standings, you're right. The matchup is not in the favor of the Celtics. They need to go out there and prove that they can compete with these guys. Because until they can, then we could talk about them really being that really top tier of the Eastern Conference.
347-215-7771 is the number to join the conversations. That's 347-215-7771. The call lines are brought to you by Movement Watches. While department stores watches start at $400 to $500, the good folks over at Movement Watches have taken the middleman out and are passing those savings directly to you. Now, Movement Watches are slick, fashionable, and most importantly, they're affordable, starting at just $95. Go to mbmtwatches.com/CelticsB for 15% off of your first order with free shipping. That's mbmtwatches.com/CelticsB. So, yeah, who wouldn't say that? I mean, you look at the way this team was playing against the Celtics, they really gave it to them. You know, the Celtics had a chance to beat them in that last meeting, and the Raptors just took the life out of them that second half. Who did it? Their star-studded backcourt and DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry. But this last couple of weeks, or last 2 weeks, I should say, the Raptors have really not looked like themselves. I mean, they've lost 6 of their last 7 games. And these losses weren't against top-notch teams here. They lost to the Philadelphia 76ers. They lost to the Phoenix Suns. They lost to, it's a couple of decent teams here.
Charlotte
Hornets.
Tonight.
Yeah. The Memphis Grizzlies, the Milwaukee Bucks, and then they lost to the Orlando Magic. That was last night, actually. They lost to the Orlando Magic by 1 point. I mean, to fall to the Orlando Magic. We saw what the Celtics did to the Orlando Magic. I mean, we saw what happened Friday night. I mean, for them to turn things around, head up north, and knock off the Raptors, one of the best teams in the East, is impressive to say the least. Now, not to take anything away from the Raptors, okay, because they did lose against the San Antonio Spurs. They lost against the Memphis Grizzlies. Those are two games where DeMar DeRozan didn't play. So, of course, those are going to be tough matchups when you don't have your best scorer in there. But this is a Toronto Raptors team that always gives Celtics a tough time. But I think mentally, psychologically, you want to get into their head. You want to add some doubt that when they face the Celtics, you know, with the Celtics win, you put doubt in their mind that when they face them next time, that they're going to lose. They have the potential to lose. Because if the Celtics want to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, they're going to have to go through the Toronto Raptors, right? I mean, we can't even start to talk about the Cleveland Cavaliers until they beat the Raptors, right? And the Cleveland Cavaliers are right around the corner as well. They'll be coming to TD Garden soon enough too. So the Celtics really have their matchups laid out for them within these next 2 to 3 weeks, where they can face the cream of the crop in the Eastern Conference, have the All-Star break to regroup and come back strong. And you have that matchup against the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yeah. I mean, that's exactly right. The Celtics sort of the proving grounds are on Wednesday night, right? They need to go out there. That's the litmus test. They need to be able to go out there and play a strong game, play, clean basketball game, take good care of the basketball, and they need to be able to rebound, because second chance points, points in the paint, they're losing those battles. They lost them tonight against against Detroit for the most part, even though they won this game. They need to be able to figure out a way to stop the you know, superstar backcourt of Toronto from lighting them up. I mean, those two guys in their last game last night, like you said, 55 points between them in a game that they scored 113 points. So, you know, pretty close to 50% of the point total from the Toronto Raptors in that game, even though they lost, came from those two guys. So if you could slow them down, and you're going to need help from guys like Crowder, and like I said, if you can get Bradley back, that would be huge. Marcus Smart's going to have to play a big role in defending those guys. And Isaiah Thomas, although, you know, he might be a little bit on the lower tier, if you will, when talking about defenders on this team, he's going to have to contribute as well. So whatever they could do, and of course they're going to have that help defense, that's the way they're going to be able to slow these guys down. They're not going to be able to stop them. These guys are too talented. They're going to go out and get theirs. So unless they're really, really struggling, you know, from the field and kind of hurting themselves, you know, the Celtics are going to have to go out there and just try and slow them down, because they're going to get theirs. They're too talented not to.
Well, let me get your take on this, Sean, and I'm asking you this because I think what Brad Stevens has done with this starting lineup without Avery Bradley has made all the difference in these last 2 to 3 games. I love the fact that Jaylen Brown's in the starting lineup, because now you're putting Jaylen Brown in a situation where he's going to be going against some of the best scorers in the NBA. He did it last week against James Harden. He's going to do it this week. Let's just assuming Avery Bradley's out. He's going to do it again this week in DeMar DeRozan. I love it. I really do, because now you put Marcus Smart back to the bench where he's really starting to thrive in that point guard role. I mean, mm-hmm. He had a career-high 11 assists last week. Tonight he had 8, finished with 13 points. I mean, that's a solid Marcus Smart night. 13 points, 8 assists. He finishes a plus 11 in the plus-minus category. That's what you want out of Marcus Smart. You know, we always criticize Marcus Smart about his shot selection and when he tries to be someone that he's not. This is it. This is the kind of game that we want to see from Marcus Smart every night. And I think this starting lineup gives him that opportunity to do that. He doesn't have to face the opposing team starting lineup. He doesn't have to face some of those best scores, you know, throughout 4 quarters. And I think that makes a world of a difference, because at the end of the games, don't get me wrong, I love Jaylen Brown, but I don't want to see Jaylen Brown at the end of the game. I want to see Marcus Smart out there. And I want to see a energized Marcus Smart, because Marcus Smart tends to come up with big defensive stops in the fourth quarter, and that's why you need him in that fourth quarter. But I think what makes him so valuable on the defensive end is when he's not, when the person that he's guarding is not seeing him for 4 straight quarters. Because let's face it, I mean, Marcus Smart is just not Avery Bradley. We always say that he's close, or last year he made a strong case that he's close to being the type of defender that Avery Bradley is. But this year, if it's one thing we learned about Marcus Smart, it's that he is not Avery Bradley on either side of the floor. So I think when you have Jaylen Brown getting his reps in the first quarter, Marcus Smart slowly coming into, you know, in the second quarter, first half, starting to get some reps against that backcourt. By the fourth quarter, he feels a lot more confident going up against those guys like Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah, I agree. And just having him out there and building that confidence is going to be huge. And, you know, I wouldn't take away too much from having Jonas Derebko out there as well, because look at, he goes out there and gets 10 rebounds tonight, and that was huge for the Celtics for him to be able to do that.
How can I forget about Jonas? Just having
the size out there and having another guy that will go out there and rebound, because that's his job. I mean, he goes out there and does those little things. You know, we think of him as the quote unquote Swedish Larry Bird and hitting threes and everything like that, but he really does. He really does do the little things out there. When you know, he played 24 minutes tonight, you know, and had like I said, 10 rebounds. You know, didn't do much else other than that. Hit 1 3-pointer for his 3 points. But you know, having those two guys in the starting lineup, and then you look who you're bringing off the bench with Amir Johnson, Kelly Olynyk, Marcus Smart, Terry Rozier. I mean, that rotation has been has kept the Celtics in games and allowed them to extend leads. Bringing Marcus Smart off the bench, I think, is huge. You know, the 3 for 13 is a little bit glaring tonight, so that hurts just a little bit. But other than that, like you said, I mean, he's out there playing some really great basketball, other than a couple of mistakes at the end of the game. Nick and I were talking about this off the air before the game. But
minus those.
So minus those in the 3-for-13, you know, Marcus Smart played a pretty good game tonight. And I think clearly made up for those bonehead plays, as Nick called them. And help them get this win tonight. But yeah, I like the rotation the way it is. I don't know if you know how Brad's going to play it on Wednesday night against the Raptors, if he's going to shift it up a little bit depending on if Bradley comes back or not. But you know, I like the rotation the way it's been working out. You know, obviously you get a little bit of spreading it out a little bit with having Avery Johnson come off the bench as well. And, you know, I mean, he didn't have a huge game tonight, but, you know, chipped in with 5 rebounds. You know, Kelly didn't have a huge game tonight either. But you know, I think you said it at the top of the show. They kind of spread out the scoring, spread out the stats a little bit.
Right. Collectively, they scored 31 points. Yeah.
So, right. You know, I like the rotation the way it is, but we'll see if that sticks on Wednesday night, or if Brad decides that he's going to have to do something a little bit different. Depending on, you know, who's going to have at his disposal, and how he thinks that that he can go match up against the Raptors, because they kind of got him a little bit right now. The last few games, Toronto's really had the better of the Celtics. So I'm sure Brad Stevens, now that he's done with this game, can start thinking about you know, the game Wednesday night. You know, I'm sure he's, as Bill Belichick would say, he's on to Toronto.
I was just going to say that. You stole it from me. I was just going to say, oh, he's on to Toronto. He's thinking about them tonight. He's scheming right now as we speak. Yeah, I can't forget about Jonas Jerebko. I mean, Jonas Jerebko has been excellent down low on defense. And look at what he's doing on the boards. 10 rebounds tonight. Only had 3 points. It wasn't a great shooting night for him. But that's why you have him into that starting lineup. He also provides a outside threat constantly. Whereas you don't get the same out of Amir Johnson, although Amir will take a few threes when you give him a chance to. But I want to say he's a constant threat outside. So then now your bench looks much stronger because you have Amir Johnson playing against those backup big men, opposing big men. You have Marcus Smart leading the way. Gerald Green's been pretty consistent here on both ends of the floor. He only had 4 points tonight, but just getting him in there along with Terry Rozier, I like how this bench is starting to round out without Avery Bradley. And I think I think Brad Stevens has done a tremendous job with this new starting lineup. I really like it. And I hope he sticks with it until Avery Bradley gets back. And hopefully that's not going to be very long from now, because this Celtics team would be much stronger with Avery Bradley. And that's going to really help them solidify that second place spot in the Eastern Conference. But first thing first, they have to beat the Toronto Raptors, and we'll see how that goes down on Wednesday night. This is the Boston Celtics postgame show on CLNS Radio. I am Josue Pavone, my co-host Sean Bakey here, breaking down this 113-109 win over the Raptors. C's make it 4 in a row, and now 1 game ahead of the Raptors for second place. To join the conversation right before we get into our final segment is 347-215-7771. Again, that's 347-215-7771. Coming up, before you know it, it's going to be the trading deadline. It is right around the corner. And who is the biggest name we're hearing this season? Carmelo Anthony. The name that won't go away. The name that continues to be tied in with the Boston Celtics. I'll tell you how I feel about it. Sean will give you his take in the third and final segment of the Boston Celtics postgame show on CLNS Radio. We'll be right back.
Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook along with a 30-day trial membership. All you have to do is go to audible.com/try now and browse the selection of audio programs. Download a title for free and start listening. It's that easy. Audible is a leading provider of premium digital spoken audio information and entertainment on the Internet. Audible content includes an unmatched selection of audiobooks, original audio shows, news, comedy, and more from the leading audiobook publishers, broadcasters, entertainers, magazine and newspaper publishers, along with business information providers. One great selection I'd recommend is Bob Ryan's Scribe, which is narrated by Bob himself. Just go to audible.com/try now to redeem your free audiobook along with a 30-day trial membership. That's audible.com/try now. Get started today.
Hi, this is Larry H. Russell with a message on behalf of the network. As a leading online provider of audio-video coverage of the Boston Celtics, CLNS Radio delivers fans the most provocative discussion and analysis from the most noted personalities in the Celtics realm of the World Wide Web. Home to the number one rated weekly podcast which covers the NBA's winningest franchise, Celtics Beat is released first thing every Sunday morning. We deliver the most unique and informed vantage point and the lowdown on all things Boston Celtics from players, league executives, and the biggest names in the national basketball media. And it doesn't end there. The original Celtics podcast, Celtics Stuff Live, is back and better than ever before. Available Mondays on CLNSradio.com, Internet Radio Pioneers, and Celtics Diehards, John Duke and Justin Poulin go heavy on Boston basketball. With fun and engaging dialogue, CSL interacts with fans with weekly tweeted mailbags, all while featuring guests that are of the most familiar voices to Celtics Nation. Basketball in Boston is white hot this NBA season, and you don't want to miss any of this. Download the free CLNS Radio mobile app now. Available for your iPhone and Android.
You know, not all ingredients are created equal. So fresh, high-quality ingredients, they make the real difference, and that's why Blue Apron is so good. Blue Apron will send you meals to your house for less than $10 per meal. They deliver seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. Blue Apron knows that when you cook with incredible ingredients, you make incredible meals, so they set the highest quality standards for their community of artisanal suppliers, family-run farms, fisheries, and ranchers. So whether it's Japanese ramen noodles, wild-caught Alaskan salmon, or just heirloom tomatoes, Blue Apron is bringing you the best right to your door. You don't even have to go out to the grocery store. It's cold outside now. You don't have to go out and be cold. You can stay inside forever and just cook Blue Apron. They have new recipes weekly, and they're not even repeated within a year. So you make one, you don't have to do it again. It makes it's fresh every single time. It's new every single time. You have your own little restaurant in your kitchen. You can customize your recipe each week based on your preferences. I don't like fish that much, so I'm able to customize this so that I don't get fish options. I actually got a masala spice chicken dish. I love chicken tikka masala. This is perfect. It came with a kale and lime rice side, so I kind of got a little bit of everything, got a balanced nutritional meal. So check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping. Just go to blueapron.com/gardenreport. You will love how good it feels and how good it tastes to create this incredible home-cooked meal with Blue Apron. As someone who does not cook very well and struggles to toast bagel bites, I am actually cooking meals and I'm actually doing it pretty well, and it's an amazing experience, and it's actually really good food. So you'll love Blue Apron. All you have to do is go to blueapron.com/gardenreport. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
Back with the third and final segment of the Boston Celtics postgame show on CLNS Radio, the leading online provider audio video coverage for the Boston Celtics. The Seas make it four wins in a row with a 113-109 win over the Detroit Pistons. And what a streak they're on right now. And what a perfect time for the streak to go up against this Toronto Raptors team on Wednesday at TD Garden. The Raptors are losers of six of their last seven, including their last one was against the Orlando Magic last night. So it's going to be a statement game. Let's call it what it is. Going to be a statement game for this Celtics team, and I can't wait to see what happens. But let's shift gears a bit. I teased the Carmelo Anthony story. Recent reports say that although the Celtics have reportedly said that they are not interested in trading for Carmelo Anthony, the New York Knicks have not only thought of the Celtics as a trading partner, but there's a report out of the Boston Globe saying that the New York Knicks have gone as far as to send scouting crews to the Celtics games to see if there are other players, you know, second-tier players, quote-unquote, that the Knicks would be interested in that could somehow sway the Celtics into making a trade. Before we break it down, though, let's just jump to the phone lines and let's see what Isaiah from New Jersey has to say, because he wants to talk Carmelo Anthony. He's been on hold for quite a bit, so let's get him on here and get the conversation rolling. Isaiah, the table is yours. I give you Carmelo Anthony to the Celtics. You starting off the conversation. What are your thoughts? What do you think?
Hey, first of all, I want to say what's going on, guys. Great Celtics
what's up,
win tonight. What's going
good
on?
To hear from you,
IT was
what's up?
IT was awesome tonight. I think you guys remember I was for trading IT earlier in the year.
Yep.
Blasphemy.
I was
going to
refresh your memory.
Part.
I was going to refresh your memory.
Yeah, but it was a him a smart thing at the time, because at
right.
the time I didn't think IT could play the way he does off the ball, and I wanted to keep Marcus. And you can see what they're doing together with IT off the ball. That part of his game wasn't available in the first part of the season, and now he's doing things like fading off of one leg in the paint. I mean, IT is just – he's taking it to another level, and he keeps getting better. So I'm off of that. But what I am on is the Carmelo trade rumors. I mean, I think I called the other night, and I said I didn't want to do the Melo deal. But if you look at the – Look at everything and the way it's going. The stories just keep snowballing, and the Knicks just seem to want to take back less for Melo. I mean, if we can get Melo for less than what it's originally offered, and I mean, if we can keep Marcus, if we could keep those Nets picks, if all we're trading a player, let's say a Crowder and a Zeller, or a Crowder, Zeller, and a Bradley or something like that, and we get to keep everything else, with the way we're playing without Avery Bradley, what I want to ask you guys is, does that make Melo a little bit more appetizing to Celtics fans by taking a Bradley, who we're playing well without right now, and a Crowder, who you'd be replacing with a guy like Melo, and actually moving forward with a team like that? What do you guys think?
I think if you're going to trade for Carmelo Anthony, I don't think those guys – you can't part with those guys. I think Avery Bradley and Jay Crowder – well, let's start with Jay Crowder, okay? I think Jay Crowder overall may not be a better player than Carmelo Anthony, but he fits Brad Stevens' system better than him, I think. I think in the long run, you're better off with Jay Crowder. Put it that way, right? I think we can all say that. In terms of the Brooklyn picks, I think those are off the table. That's not even in the discussion, I think. And if we're talking about three guys, whether that's like – obviously, Amir Johnson would have to be involved because of his contract. It's $12 million right there. Eats up a lot of Carmelo's to match salaries. If we're talking about a few guys off the bench, I don't know, possibly Kelly Olynyk, Jarebko. I mean, I'm not saying all three of those guys, but that kind of – those caliber players that are on the Celtics roster, I think you have to entertain the idea, because let's face it. Well, okay, first of all, this is the question you have to ask yourself. If you get Carmelo Anthony, are you going to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals? And if you ask me that question, I think there's a good chance you will. Can you make it to the Eastern Conference Finals without him? I don't know if you can. I'm not sure if this roster, the way it is now, is good enough to make it to the Eastern Conference Final. I really don't. And without someone like Carmelo, whether it's Carmelo Anthony, you know, this year, or a top-tier superstar in the next year or two, either way, I don't think the Celtics are going to the Eastern Conference Final. With Carmelo Anthony and without giving up any pieces of the starting five, those key four guys, I think that shows you that if you're able to get Carmelo Anthony and keep those guys, you can make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. You should be able to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals with that lineup.
My thoughts on that, Isaiah, and obviously I appreciate the call in and the support of CLNS. The Kevins on TNT talked about it tonight. Is he the right fit for the Celtics? Can never take away that Carmelo is a great scorer, he's gonna demand the ball quite a bit, and it'll be interesting to see the dynamic and how the dynamic that the Celtics have now would change if a Carmelo Anthony came onto this team. Carmelo's going to want to be the guy that wants the ball in the fourth quarter. Isaiah obviously has been that guy this season and has dominated. And, we talked about the great play of him. And, if you're taking Drake Crowder off this team, okay, you're looking to improve your scoring, but you're also taking away on the defensive end as well, because we all know that Carmelo can't play defensive lick either. So you're actually taking away from, the defensive end where Brad Stevens, where his strengths are as a coach. Then you have two guys in your starting lineup, technically, that are going to, have trouble playing defense. So although I love Carmelo and love the thought of him on this team, I don't necessarily know that he's the right fit. And of course, I've seen the rumors about him, about the Celtics being the third team in a trade of him going to the Clippers. And, you know, I don't see where the fit is. I don't see where these rumors are actually improving the Celtics now. It seems like they're either going to stay status quo with the moves that they would make in these rumors, or that they would actually take a step back. So, you know, that's just my thoughts on it. You know, you're down there in Jersey. You probably hear more about this than even we have up here,
yeah.
Even though the Celtics are involved in these rumors. But so, you know, I'd love to hear more of what you're thinking. But my thinking is Carmelo's a great player, but not a fit for this system.
Well, I kind of disagree with both of you. And I'm tentative either way. If they do it, I understand why they did it. And if they don't, I understand why both ways. But I kind of disagree with you because Carmelo's a Hall of Fame offensive player for a reason. It's because he can score at all three levels. He can score in the mid-range game, he can score at the low post, and he can score in the three-point line. And because of that, I think that would give the Celtics way more versatility on offense than they have right now with Crowder. Right now, Crowder's a 3-and-D guy. That's pretty much it. He's not driving to the hole the way he used to, whether it's from injury or he's just in love with the three-point shot. He's not the same offensive player as he was last year. He's improved as far as shooting the three, but it seems like that's all he kind of does on the offensive end. Now, on the defensive end, he's a hard-nosed, gritty player. He's like Marcus. He sets the tone for us as far as what's expected on a nightly basis. He's a lunch pail kind of guy, and I love that bulldog in him. But when you say that you're having Carmelo come in, he's going to replace him, I think, at the start of the game at the three, but he's going to finish the game at the four with Al at the five. And
oh,
if
absolutely.
That's the case,
which is and, what, and that's if, why and if, I like the trade, right?
Yeah, and if that's the case, and if he's going to be doing that, then his defensive liability isn't the same because he's going to be guarding stretch fours. And to me, he would instantly be the best rebounder on the Celtics because he's a better rebounder than Al. I mean, when he plays the four, he boards for a four position. He boards for the power forward spot. He's a good rebounder. So I think the only liability would be on the defensive end when he plays the small forward, but that balances out when he plays the four. And the other thing that I think would give the Celtics more balance is right now in the fourth quarter, IT is Superman. He's doing everything. Everything is off the pick and roll. Everything is hard. Everything is press for him, and he's scoring. But what I would like to see happen is the Celtic offense change and the dynamic of it change. And when you get a Melo, it's not necessarily that the ball is that he's going to demand the ball, but I think that it's going to give us a low post option, kind of like what you see with Marcus when Marcus is in the post, except you're getting a Hall of Famer who is a scoring machine to play bully ball and change the dynamics of the offense. So if I can get Isaiah to still score, and at the rate he's shooting the three at, when that ball comes out of a double team or if they choose to go one-on-one with Melo, I like our chances. So with everything that I said, if I can keep Marcus at the point and slide IT over to the two, I got Brown can come in and play the three, and then I have Carmelo at the four and Al at the five, I'm taking that against the Cavs or against Golden State. And at the same time, we hold on to our core, and then we – change it a little bit, but we get to keep those Nets picks, which is so important for our future.
Oh, no, Isaiah, don't get me wrong. I would do the trade, but if it means trading Jay Crowder, that's where I draw the line. I mean, if we're talking about trading, like I said, bench guys or someone like Amir Johnson, Jonas Derebko, those type of guys, and we're talking about the Celtics first-round pick, not the Brooklyn pick, yeah, I'm all for it. But the question is that going to be enough for the New York Knicks? Does Phil Jackson want to trade him that badly that he's willing to give him up for no one that's going to sort of be one of their go-to guys, you know, offensively? You know, I think part of this –
The reports out of L.A. are a bag of bricks for Melo. That's what I mean. If we could swoop in and get him, it's like a bag of tomatoes for Melo. They're giving up Rivers. They're talking about Rivers. They're talking about Crawford. They're talking about –
oh, yeah, Doc will trade his son in a minute for Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah, the guys just – They've taken the big four out of the picture, and the only guy of substance that I've heard in these rumors is Redick. I mean, if we can swoop in and get him, like I said, we got to give up something to get something. And it's not
Let me ask you this, Isaiah. Would you be upset if the Celtics traded Avery Bradley if he was part of that deal?
No. You know why? Because we're in the same predicament. It's either Marcus IT or Avery has to go because we're coming up on all three of them being free agents.
Mm-hmm.
So if
I 100% agree with you. Yep.
So if Marcus is solidifying his role with the team, which I wholeheartedly think that he's part of our future. If he solidified himself with the team, and the thing that he does that stands out that Bradley doesn't is that he can handle the ball. Bradley can't. So you can't have Bradley be the ball handler and slide IT to the two. You can't do that with Bradley. So because I can do it with Marcus, I would much rather go forward with Marcus and IT because right now IT's playing himself into the Celtic Hall of Fame. So I'd much rather go with Marcus and IT and approach the game that way, especially since this is another concern I had with IT that I'm going to switch over to Avery. He's undersized and he gets beat up every single year. His heart, he wears it on his sleeve, but his body can't take the pounding that he puts on himself. Every year he's hurt. So moving forward as he gets older, what are we looking at with him? Are we going to pay him max kind of dollars or give him a $100 million contract and he can't stay on the floor, nagging little injuries because he's playing a position that he's, quite frankly, a point guard. He's the size of a point guard playing the two every night and giving his all for it. But at a certain point, the rubber meets the road. So what are we going to do? Are we going to use Marcus and have him play the off guards? That way we can hide IT some. And then at the same time, bring in the Hall of Fame guy who's still scoring 22 points a game. And like I said, would instantly be our best rebounder. You got to think about all of this moving forward.
No, I completely agree with you, Isaiah. I mean, I was in love with the backcourt. And I still am. Don't get me wrong. I love the backcourt of Avery Bradley and Isaiah Thomas. I always say it's a top four backcourt in the NBA. But realistically, you do not want to see the Celtics give Avery Bradley a $100 million contract because that's the kind of contract he's going to get. He's put himself in a position where he can say, look, I'm the top. He can say this now. I am the top backcourt defender in the NBA. You don't think his agent's going to be saying that to teams, to saying that to the Celtics? I mean, if you're talking about that kind of defender, whether it's here, whether it's New York, wherever around the league, someone's going to give him that kind of money. He's going to get $100 million, especially when he's not coming off the books this year, but next year when the NBA salary is going to go even higher. So if you re-sign Bradley, that's it. Bradley, Thomas, Horford, that's your three. And if you're able to get someone like Carmelo Anthony, he's still a 20-point scorer. Yes, I know it's Carmelo Anthony. I know how old he is, but this isn't a commitment. This is a conversation I had not too long ago on my on the Causeway Street podcast where I was talking about how this is a fling, okay? This isn't a long-term relationship, okay? You're not getting yourself married to Carmelo Anthony for the next 3 or 4 years. We're talking about a season and a half. See what happens. You know, if it works out, it doesn't. If it does, if you get yourself to the Eastern Conference Finals, I say it's a success. If you're able to get to the Eastern Conference Finals, you get a date against the Cleveland Cavaliers. You have that lineup of Crowder, Anthony, Horford, Smart and Isaiah Thomas finishing games. That's a tough lineup for a lot of teams in the Eastern Conference, including the Toronto Raptors, who the Celtics have to prove that they can beat them in a 7-game series.
These are tough decisions coming up for the Celtics. It's great and it's exciting the way that the team is playing right now. But there's some real decisions we have to make coming up. And like I said, if we can consolidate the roster, because next year is going to be worse. We got Yabusele coming in. We've got Zizic coming in. We've got a top three pick coming in. We don't have room for everyone, and so we can't get attached to everyone. We got to figure out what we're moving forward with, and then we have to consolidate the spare parts. And it's not like I'm calling AB a spare part because I love his heart. I love Crowder's heart. I love what they bring to the table. But I'm a Celtics fan through and through, and I've been a Celtics fan before they got here. So my goal is to see us get a title and put another one up in the rafters. And if we have to consolidate parts in order to get that done, it's all for the good of the green.
Danny Ainge will make the shrewd moves. Yep, absolutely. Great call.
Thanks, Isaiah.
All right, guys. Hey,
but the
wrap
things
Celtics
up here,
win.
But great call. Yeah, another great win, man. We'll see what happens Wednesday night. Thanks for the call, man.
All right, fellas.
Call us back. All right, yeah, I mean, great call by Isaiah. He brought up a number of great points there. I really like what he had to say about Carmelo and kind of disagreeing with us. You know, he had some valid points there on how that the Celtics could make that work. And, you know,
well,
obviously
I don't know if he
with the
– I was trying to say, like, I don't want Melo because, you know, just for whatever reason, the same reason that a lot of people are saying his attitude and all that. No, I just don't want to see the Celtics part ways with someone like Jay Crowder. I mean, he's someone that's going to be signed through, what, 2020? He's making, you know how much he's making, like, what, $4 or $5 million, $6 million cheap money. It's going to be nothing in a couple of years. So I think you hold on to someone like that. But if you can put him together with someone like Carmelo Anthony, I'm all for it. I just don't want to see them part ways with Jay Crowder. But, yeah, go on.
Yeah, but Danny Ainge is going to make the shrewd move when he has to be able to improve this team or conceivably improve this team. I'm all for bringing Carmelo Anthony here if you don't have to part with any of the Brooklyn picks or Jay Crowder or you know, a Marcus Smart. And you can actually add him to the core of this team. And he's going to have to make some concessions in his game, though. Obviously, he brings a lot more to the table than people think. People think he's very one-dimensional. And Isaiah brought that to the table here, saying that, Carmelo obviously is a good rebounder. He can post up. He can hit that mid-range jumper. He's not just an outside shooter, an outside threat. So he is more dimensional than just a score, but you want him to complement these guys. You don't want him to take away anything from what the chemistry and the camaraderie that these other guys have already developed. Places have been playing in New York for the last few years, and being in Boston after being in New York is we'd have to clean off all that New York stink off of him when he comes in here to the garden,
These opportunities don't come along often, a solidified 20-point score. Isaiah nailed it. I mean, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. Say what you want about how old he is, and he's still proven himself to be a consistent 20-point scorer. And I think in this stage of his career, this is it. This could be his last chance to actually compete in the Eastern Conference Finals or potentially the NBA Finals, if he were to come to the Celtics and stick around for another year. I mean, who knows? If the Celtics can go out and get themselves a solidified rim protector, that's a good team. That's a great team.
If that's his mentality, if he wants to go and get the ring, he would absolutely have a chance to do that in the next couple of years with the Celtics because of, the picks and because of Danny Ainge being who he is in his job. So if he's willing to concede a few things and, play Brad Stevens style of basketball while still being the Carmelo Anthony that has, pushed him to the brink of Hall of Fame status, and we can argue all day whether you think he's a Hall of Famer or not. You said you think he could be. I'm not quite there yet with him, but he's only 32, so he may have
more. I think it could. Nah. I think it's a good chance he'll get it.
Nah.
Maybe not first ballot, but
I put it this way: if Carmelo Anthony's in the Hall of Fame, then it's becoming less of a glorious thing to ascend to. in reaching the Hall of Fame if Carmelo Anthony's in at this point. But I digress on that. He can absolutely help this team. I will say that. But he's going to have to be a little bit of a different Carmelo Anthony than we've seen from him in New York and what we saw from Denver to be able
absolutely.
To play with this team.
But sometimes, we always talk about how great of a franchise the Celtics is. Obviously, one of the greatest, one of the most storied franchises in the NBA. And I feel like
they now have tied them for the most wins in history with the LA Lakers, NBA history tonight with the
win. That's going to keep going because the Lakers, they look horrible. So
they play the Lakers on Friday. So when they beat them on Friday, then they'll be even more ahead of them.
Right. Exactly. But with all that being said. People forget that I think once you put on that Celtics uniform, we've seen guys say that so many times, that once you put on that uniform and you play underneath those 17 banners and you find out what the city's about, how the passion and, the way that you can ride on that momentum, especially if this were to really go down. I mean, we're talking about a guy who said time and time again, I am devoted to the New York Knicks. I am a New York Knick. I don't want to go anywhere. Despite all the trade rumors, he knows what Phil Jackson's doing. He knows that he's shopping around. And he continues to say, this is my team. They're going to have to kick me out of here. I'm not going anywhere. And then if they were to do that, just imagine the chip on his shoulder coming into Boston and coming into a winning situation, a winning franchise, and a chance to compete against LeBron James in the Eastern Conference Finals. The guy who was compared to him throughout the entire summer, you know, heading into to the rookie season in 2003. I mean, it's just almost a storybook ending for Carmelo Anthony if he were to somehow dethrone LeBron James, whether it's this year or next year in the Eastern Conference Finals. I may be getting ahead of myself here, but this is the way you have to hope that Carmelo Anthony would be thinking if he were to be traded to the Celtics.
Yeah, and you know, he's a New York guy, right? So he goes to Syracuse and obviously had an amazing college career. And you know, he's done some great things in this league. Let's not take anything away from it. Well, we started this conversation by saying he's a very prolific scorer in this league, 20-point-a-game guy. So, you know, if he's thinking legacy and if he's thinking, you know, going out on top and getting a ring, then in going out against the best, because that's what they're going to have to go against if he comes here and goes to an Eastern Conference Final. It's going to be against Cleveland. You know, you're going to have to go through a number of great teams to be able to even get to there. So if he's thinking those, you know, absolutely he has an opportunity to do something here that he hasn't been able to do before. So he's going to have to concede a little of himself to be able to do that, I think. But that's just me. And you know, I'm an old school guy, Josue. So, you know, I grew up watching the big three in the mid-80s. And I remember vividly, I don't remember so much vividly the 81 championship because I was only four, but the 84 and the 86 championships are embedded in my mind forever. And obviously playoff series after that in 87 and in 88 and obviously the end of Larry Bird's career and McHale and Parrish and all that. But, you know, there was no guys like Carmelo Anthony that were, you know, coming to the Celtics back then that weren't going to have to change their game to play with that team. Because guys like Larry and guys like Kevin and guys like Robert and guys like DJ, they were going to let them know how it was going to happen with the Celtics. And I think there's guys on this team, you know, if Crowder's still here, Thomas, you know, even Horford, even though he's been
Horford
here for a few months.
I think Horford would be the guy, he's
a leader.
He could,
he's a leader.
He could show him the way a bit, show him the Celtic way,
exactly.
Even though he hasn't been here too long. Yeah.
This is how it happens in this locker room. This is how it happens in practice. This is how it happens on the floor. This is how you act. Not that Carmelo Anthony needs a lesson on you know, how to be an NBA player, but he would need a lesson on how to be a Boston Celtic. You said it. You know, you're under those rafters. You know, I went to a game a few weeks ago, and I've been going to games, you know, for, 35 years?
35, yeah.
Yeah. That I can remember, and every single time you walk into that building, even though it's not the same building that, you know, I grew up going to, there's still the banners there. You know, there's still the nod to the past, if you will, all over the building, with the retired numbers and everything like that. And if you're walking around the concourses, there's, you know, there's the odes to the old school. So that the tradition and the history that's there, you know, you have to respect that. So anybody that comes in from the outside, these guys got to school them on how it's going to be. So, you know, the Knicks have similar tradition, right? They don't have the banners. They don't have but they do have the Hall of Famers. They do have the old guard, if you will. You would think that he would have that already playing in an historic building like Madison Square Garden. And maybe he does, and maybe we just don't see it because we're on the outside looking in. But, you know, if this trade goes down and where there's smoke, there's fire. So I think, you know, there's something to this here, even though the Celtics are saying that they're not interested, the conversation's still going on. You know, if it did happen, I mean, I wouldn't be disappointed depending on who goes back to the Knicks in this thing. But, you know, obviously we'll see if he actually makes an improvement to this team. That's what I'm worried about. Will you actually take a step back by what you're subtracting from this team by adding a Carmelo Anthony as talented as he is?
All right, well, with that, we're going to wrap up the Boston Celtics postgame show on CLNS Radio. The Celtics, once again, final score for one final time, 113-109, defeat the Detroit Pistons. They find themselves one game ahead of the Toronto Raptors with a 30-18 record. They welcome the Raptors on Wednesday night. They're only 2.5 games behind Cleveland now. And they're going to try to make a statement on Wednesday night. So it's going to be interesting to see how that goes down. Sean, before we get out of here, any final thoughts about the Celtics team and what they need to do on Wednesday night?
Well, they need to play one of their best games of the season. Like I said earlier, they have a couple of guards up there in Toronto that are playing some of their best basketball, even though the team is struggling.
Those guys are ridiculous, man. They're ridiculous.
They are.
They're scoring the best. They're good at basketball.
All-star caliber players. They need to slow them down and be in control of this game from beginning to end. You know, like you said, they had a chance to the last time they played them, kind of blew it a little bit in the fourth quarter. Let's have a complete game and see them steal this one and let Toronto know that Boston's here for the duration.
This post-game show will be available for on-demand listening by searching the CLNS Radio Boston Celtics post-game show on iTunes and Stitcher, as well as the CLNS Radio mobile podcast app. Follow CLNS on social media at CLNS Radio on Twitter and like us at facebook.com/CLNSfans. Today's show is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Start using ZipRecruiter for free right now by going to ZipRecruiter.com/sportsfan. Also sponsored by Blue Apron. Head over to BlueApron.com/CLNS where you can sign up for 3 free meals, including free shipping. And also our friends at MVMT Watches. That's MVMT Watches. Head over to MVMTWatches.com/CelticsBeat where you can sign up for 15% off your first purchase, including free shipping. And this program is also brought to you by Audible. Head over to Audible.com/try right now for a free 30-day trial of audiobooks. Music was provided by Nick Sesento. He's also behind the glass. What up, Nick? Joshua Morse wants to thank our caller tonight. Great call, by the way. Can't say that enough. That was a great call.
Yep.
Always feel free to call back our boy out down in New Jersey. Especially he gave us, you know, that good New York Knicks perspective, you know, because they obviously talk Knicks basketball down there more than they do up here in Boston. So that was a great call. I want to thank him for calling in. What's that?
They don't have the Nets anymore in Jersey, so they got to pick one of the New York teams to focus on, right?
Yeah, right, exactly, right. That's all they got, I guess. For the CLNS Radio executive producer, Larry H. Russell, the program director, Justin Poulin, the founder of the network, Nick Gelso, and for my co-host, Sean Bakey. This was fun, man. Always fun to do the show with you, man.
Absolutely.
I'm Josue Pavone. We'll see everyone back here Wednesday night when the Celtics take on the Raptors at TD Garden. A statement game. Can't wait to see what happens. We'll see you guys back here right after the game, of course, for the CLNS Radio Boston Celtics post-game show. I'm up out of here. Good night, everyone. ¶¶